Mr. President, at your option, we could have Rochelle do the presentation for 6.2 while they're working on the technical issue and then come back to 6.1.
That's fine with me. We are going to...
Actually, we have sound now. We are back.
That's all it took. Okay.
Thanks for the offer, Mr. Stone. Are we going to move ahead with 6.1 then? Mark, are you ready to go?
Yes, we can go now. Sorry. Can you guys hear me? All right, go in here. Good evening, President Martin and members of the board. My name is Mark Comentado. I am an engineer and project manager for the Backcountry Reservoir and Pump Station project. We have an item in front of you this evening regarding the approval of a resolution adopting the addendum to the Mission Village Environmental Impact Report and resolutions authorizing a purchase order to Michael Baker International Inc. and Canon Corporation for final design services for the Backcountry Reservoir and Backcountry Pump Station, respectively. Next slide, please. To give a bit of context about the addendum to the Mission Village EIR, we must first look at the Newhall Ranch Specific Plan EIR and the Mission Village EIR. The Newhall Ranch Specific Plan EIR was approved and certified by the County of Los Angeles in 2003. This plan is to develop a large-scale mixed-use community located in the western portion of SCV Water's service area in unincorporated Los Angeles County. Furthermore, approved and certified in LA County in 2011, the Mission Village EIR was tiered from the Newhall Ranch Specific Plan Program EIR. Mission Village is one of the five villages within the Newhall Ranch Specific Plan. And the Mission Village EIR analyzed the environmental impacts of the proposed Mission Village development, including supporting facilities and waterworks infrastructure. Next slide, please. The addendum to the Mission Village EIR was prepared by Woodard and Curran and addresses potential environmental impacts of the construction and operation of the proposed Backcountry Reservoir and Backcountry Pump Station project, including the turnout facility and distribution pipelines connecting to the various SCV water pressure zones in the area. Pursuant to Section 15.164 of the CEQA guidelines, which states that the lead agency or responsible agency shall prepare an addendum to a previously certified EIR if some changes or additions are necessary, but none of the conditions described in Section 15.162 calling for the preparation of a subsequent EIR have occurred. Since no new significant impacts resulting from the development of the reservoir and pump station and no substantial increase in the severity of any previously identified environmental impacts, none of the conditions requiring preparation of a subsequent EIR under Section 15.162 of the CEQA guidelines are satisfied. Therefore, the addendum is the appropriate level of environmental documentation necessary to proceed with the project. And because additional detail is now available regarding construction and operation of the proposed water storage reservoir, it is possible to more specifically address the impacts of the Backcountry Reservoir and Backcountry Pump Station. Furthermore, although not required for CEQA compliance, SCV Water posted the addendum to the Mission Village EIR on its website from November 30, 2022 to present. And staff have received no comments regarding this document. Next slide, please. The proposed Backcountry Reservoir and Backcountry Pump Station will be used to serve the western portion of SCV Water's service area. Preliminary site locations have been selected during the planning efforts. The reservoir site is located west of the I-5 near Magic Mountain Parkway in unincorporated LA County, and the pump station site is located east of the interstate on Magic Mountain Parkway within the city of Santa Clarita. These facilities are intended to increase storage capacity, which was identified in the 2017 Emergency and Operational Storage Study, and is currently being reevaluated in the ongoing master planning efforts. The Backcountry Reservoir will be the terminus of the Magic Mountain Pipeline's Phase 4, 5, 6A, and 6B projects. Next slide, please. The Backcountry Reservoir was first addressed in the 2010 Mission Village draft EIR. Sizing and other details regarding the design of the tank were unknown at the time, but it was assumed that the reservoir was to be above ground. In 2018, Michael Baker International completed preliminary design of the Magic Mountain Reservoir, which was later named the Backcountry Reservoir, and determined a maximum attainable storage volume and other key design criteria for the facility. In 2022, MBI further analyzed the Backcountry Reservoir site and provided alternative preliminary reservoir designs. Ultimately, a reservoir with the operational volume of 7.9 million gallons was selected to maximize the storage capacity at this facility location. Next slide, please. Hydraulic analysis of the SCV water system showed that the pump station, or that a pump station was necessary to supply the future Backcountry Reservoir. So in 2020, Michael Baker prepared a technical memorandum which identified the pump station site and preliminary layout, which is shown to the right. Preliminary design of the pump station include the pump building, four 8,000 gallons per minute pumps, three for normal operation and one standby pump, emergency backup generator and equipment hoists. Also located on this facility will be the V9 turnout facility, which will provide flow and control metering to zones 1 and zones 2A north. Additionally, approximately 2,500 feet of new 16 and 24-inch distribution pipelines will also ultimately need to be constructed in order to tie into the SCV Water's existing distribution system. Next slide, please. So as the Backcountry Reservoir and Backcountry Pump Station are two components of the larger overall project, staff issued two requests for proposals, one for final design services for the Backcountry Reservoir and the other for final design services for the Backcountry Pump Station. RFPs were issued on plan of bids on May 27, 2022, and sent to qualified engineering firms in the agency's on-call list. On June 29, 2022, three proposals were received for the Backcountry Pump Station, one from Canon, Lee and Rowe, and Michael Baker International. And on July 7, 2022, four proposals were received for the Backcountry Reservoir, one from Canon, Lee and Rowe, Michael Baker, and M&S Engineers. Based on the department standard evaluation procedures, Canon Corporation was selected as the most qualified firm to provide final design services for the Backcountry Pump Station, and Michael Baker International was selected as the most qualified firm to provide final design services for the Backcountry Reservoir. The Backcountry Reservoir and Backcountry Pump Station projects will continue SCV Water's strategic plan objectives, B1, plan, design, and build facilities to meet demand, including storage capacity and interconnections between regional and retail water systems, and B2, plan and budget for long-term replacements and improvements. Next slide, please. The primary goal of the consultants will be to further develop the planning efforts completed thus far for the Backcountry Reservoir and Backcountry Pump Station and provide 100% level plans and specifications that will be used to ultimately construct these infrastructure improvements. All previous technical memorandums, site analyses, and studies will need to be reviewed and findings incorporated into the final design of these facilities, including any CEQA mitigation measures discussed in the addendum or any previously certified EIR documents. Next slide, please. This slide shows the project schedule. This evening, we're here at the Board of Directors meeting. This item was first presented to the Engineering and Operations Committee meeting on February 2 earlier this year. So if the board approves, staff will issue a notice to proceed to the consultants. Final design services for the backcountry reservoir should be expected to be completed. There's a typo here. It says January 2024, but I believe we're starting a little later than the proposal. So it's expected to be completed in April of 2024. So while the final design services for the backcountry pump station should be expected to be completed in September of 2023, as shown below. Next slide, please. Staff will be recommending to the board of directors to firstly approve the resolution adopting the addendum to the Mission Village EIR, approving the backcountry reservoir and backcountry pump station projects, and adopting the mitigation monitoring and reporting program for the project. And secondly, approve a resolution authorizing a purchase order to Michael Baker International Inc. For an amount not to exceed $1.5 million for final design services for the backcountry reservoir project, and a purchase order to Canon Corporation for an amount not to exceed $1 million for final design services for the backcountry pump station. This concludes my presentation. Thank you. With that, I'll bring it back to you, President Martin.
Thank you, Mark, for your presentation. Thank you, Jonathan, for your technical support on this item. I don't have any written comment cards, but do we have any public comment online?
We do not.
Very good. We can open it to discussion from the board. Any questions that we may have? I know this was covered at D&O. So, Kathy, Director Armitage.
Thank you. So first off, thank you for the detailed memo, Mr. Mail, and thank you very much for the presentation, Mr. Almentado. So I don't have any questions or issue with the first resolution. I am struggling a little bit with the second resolution. I guess I'm just having a hard time understanding why the agency, SCV Water, is paying for the costs associated with this pump station and reservoir. I get that they're absolutely needed to meet water demands. However, it seems like this is being installed largely for the new development being built. And, you know, I know we've had many, many discussions at the board level in approving facilities for various reservoirs and other facilities to increase the ability to meet demand. And it seems like a lot of the times the costs were part of the development budget or there was a cost-sharing agreement made. And in this case, I feel like the burden of these costs are falling entirely on SCV Water. And I guess I'm just trying to understand why we're absorbing that cost.
Very good. Staff like to walk through those cost-sharing issues for Director Armitage?
Yeah, I can talk to a little bit about that. So main reason, as discussed in the presentation, was the 2017 E&O study. So that's where the actual need for this additional storage came from. And then, Court, I believe you have your hand up as well.
Yeah, thank you. sorry, working from home today. Requirements for this, the developers are required to build everything associated to their development. They have their own on-site pump stations and storage to meet their retail demand for the five-point development, just as other developers are required to do. The five-point development has met multiple tanks and pump stations that are currently being constructed, and those aren't brought before the board because they're entirely developer-funded. So the only time we were going to bring something to the board is when we have a participation that goes beyond the needs of the development. And in this case, the need is actually a regional need for the entire western side of the water agency, and that's emergency storage. So additional storage beyond the needs of the development, and instead for the purpose of all of the residents on the western side of SCV water. Right now, we have no emergency storage, and so our storage for that area is entirely based on the existing retail storage we have. This would provide us some additional water supplies in the event that we are cut off from water from our northern supplies. Hopefully that clarifies a little bit of the question.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Courtney.
Just one other comment on the funding share. There is a funding share realized from new development that benefits from that regional storage that's collected through the facility capacity fee on a regional basis. So a portion of that emergency storage is a portion to new homes in the community, and a portion is a portion to existing portions of the community.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. Does that answer your question? Thank you very much. Do we have any other questions from the board? We do have two resolutions to vote on tonight, so I would entertain a motion for approval of the first one, the first resolution approving the amendment to the ERA.
We can do them both at the same time.
So we the two resolutions, but we can entertain a motion and a vote for both of them simultaneously. All right, very good. We have a second.
Good site second.
Very good. Any other discussion or questions from the board? Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
Vice President Orzechowski.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item, both items do pass, and those are resolutions numbers SCV-336 and SCV-337.
Very good. Thank you, board. Thank you, Mark, for the presentation and staff for your response to the questions. We can move on to item two, approve or receiving and filing of the December 22 monthly and mid-year budget review. Our presenter tonight is Rochelle Patterson.
Good evening. So we typically had prepared a mid-year budget review in the past. And since then, we've been incorporating these quarterly reports and sending them to the Finance Administration Committee and then ultimately presenting them to the Board of Directors. So it's a little confusing because a lot of the numbers we'll see, the mid-year is the same as the second quarter. So the mid-year ends in December, second quarter ends in December. There are just a couple of slight differences, and we'll go through those. But April, let's go to the next slide. So just remember, this is the quarter ending December of 2022. Just a few second quarter highlights that we completed our audit work with our auditors, Lansol and Lungard. We received and filed our annual comprehensive financial report. We've also sent that to GFOA for award consideration. We completed the letter of interest for the WIFIA loan program. We approved the revised employee manual for flexible workplace program. We approved the employee manual policy number 42, which was the internship program. And then we also approved a couple contracts on the IT side for the microwave upgrade. Next slide. So the mid-year budget is slightly different than the second quarter financials. When we look at mid-year, it's a snapshot. So in theory, we would have received 50% of our revenue or expended 50% of our expenses through December, but there are a few budget items that are budgeted monthly based on trend or expectation. So for instance, the trend for water sales show that we received approximately 61% of our revenue in the first 6 months of the fiscal year, as opposed to the last 6 months of the year. So if we look at the mid-year, we are slightly over budget by about 2%. It shows that we've received 52% of our water sales, but we were actually tracking below budget based on that expectation. So just looking at the slide briefly, our total water sales through mid-year were $47.8 million. Our miscellaneous and late fees or disconnects were $285,000. That was approximately 28% at mid-year. Our property tax, our 1% received, was approximately $13.5 million, and that's about 45% at mid-year. This is another one of those categories that is a little bit different. We have an assumption based on our past historical trends of when we receive property tax and in what months. So typically receive about 40% of our property tax in the first 6 months of the year and about 60% in the last 6 months of the year. So us being at 45% at mid-year, we're still tracking over budget, but a little bit less when we look at the mid-year. The facility and retail capacity fees were received were $526,000. That's about 8% at mid-year. And our perchlorate reimbursements, O&M and CIP, were $1.7 million. That's about 19% at mid-year. And a big bulk of that is for the Whitaker reimbursements for the Saugus 3 and 4 wells, which we haven't received those expenses through December. Next slide. This just graphically shows our revenues, our total revenues on the left-hand side, what 50% of all our revenues are in the middle, and on the right side, what our revenues are through December. Next slide. Just breaking out a couple of our big revenue types, we have our water sales, which is in the blue, the upper left column. Showing at 50%, it's for our mid-year budget, but we received about 52%. To the right of that is the purple, the 1% property tax, showing slightly below that 50% budget. The facility capacity fee revenue showing significantly less than our 50%. And then our state water contract revenue, which is the ad valorem portion of the property tax, is about the same, just slightly below the 50% budget. Next slide. And this is what it looks at. This is our operating mid-year revenue summary. So our total operating revenues, about $148 million there at the bottom. Through December, we have received about $67.3 million, and that's about a total of 45% of our total operating revenues received mid-year. Next slide. This is just the mid-year summary for the state water contract. Our revenue source there is property tax. And then we also receive some interest revenue. Next slide. So here's our mid-year expense summary. Under our management, expenses are lower due to timing of legal invoices, perchlorate litigation. And then some of those are lower than anticipated. And also we have received some reimbursements from our litigation expenses for perchlorate. And then there is one big expense that we have yet to receive, and that's for the election expense. And that usually happens in May. Our water resources expenses, about 34% at mid-year. We do have some lower conservation engagement. And on engineering, it's about 35% at mid-year. There's some professional services billing delays, and one of those has to do with the master plan, which is currently being worked on, but haven't received a lot of those invoices through December. And the capital project expenditures, the PAYGO, were about 18% at mid-year. That's attributed to some delays in timing, permits, contracts, acquisition of materials. And then on water quality treatment and maintenance at mid-year, this is the only category where we are slightly over budget by 8%. And this has to do with timing of Edison invoices and also the reduction in some of our solar credits, because our solar fields are not operating at 100%. and we sell that solar power back to SCE, which reduces our power expense. And then all our other departments are within budget. Next slide. This is just the graphical interpretation of our expense summary. So on our left-hand side, we have our budget in the middle of 50% of our budget, and through December is on the right. Next slide. And this shows our total operating expense summary is the same amount as our revenues, $148 million. And we've expended through December about $47 million, which is about 32% of our mid-year budget. Next slide. On the state water contract side, we have a few types of expenses here, the variable water charge, our state water contract payments. We have some one-time dues for the state water contracts, some auditing fees, and then our total budget is $38 million, and we've spent about 40% of that expense budget. Next slide. So now we get into the second quarter, looking at actual budget versus expenses or revenues. So that same $47.8 million in revenues, it is a reduction of 15% compared to our budget number of $56.5 million. And our actual water sales are lower than budgeted based on our conservation efforts and weather. There are certain revenues and expenses that are budgeted based on seasonal trends and expectations, which I just talked about, where on our revenues, we look at our 10-year trend to see about what months we'll receive what percentage of revenue, and then that's how we budget for those. And that's where I had talked about we receive about 61% typically in the first 6 months of the year, which has our hotter months, July, August, September, and about 39-40% in the remaining months of the fiscal year. Overall, our fiscal year 2022-23 total revenues are operating and non-operating of $67.3 million. We're about 11% under budget of the $75.6 million budget. Next slide. This breaks out our water sales, but in acre feet and not in dollars. So our total water produced for retail consumption from October to December of 22 was 12,157. And overall year-to-date water consumption was 32,620 acre feet as compared to the budget projection of 35,953, which is definitely shows in our revenue number. Next slide. Here's breaking our water sales down by customer class. So we can see where each of our customer classes, whether it's residential, commercial, industrial, how it falls compared to our budget. Our residential water sales were under budget by about 12%. That's about $3.6 million for the quarter. Our commercial water sales were over budget by about 8%. That's $237,000. Our landscaping, irrigation, and water was our second lowest category of reduction of $3.2 million. That was about a 27% reduction in the landscaping irrigation category. And all other water sales were under budget by about 10%, which equals about $337,000. The total billing connections added through December for fiscal year 22-23 were 639. Those are the number of connections we've actually added to our billing system that we are billing on a monthly basis. Out of the 1,550 that is projected for the year. Next slide. This is our 1% property tax revenues, which we did talk about briefly. We received $13.5 million of the $11.9 million budget, where we showed in our mid-year budget review, we were slightly under budget, but here we are slightly over budget because our expectation is that we receive typically about 40%. In the first half of the year and about 60% in the second half of the year, almost swapped from the way our water sales trend. Next slide. This is our facility and retail capacity fees. We've received $526,000 in the second quarter. The regional capacity fees collected were $482,000. and about 43,800 in retail capacity fees out of a budget of 3.1 million. The facility capacity fees are budgeted, they're annually, but divided on a monthly basis. So this may not be a true illustration of annual results. Next slide. And this is just let you know where the fees that we have received. If we have some larger projects, we will call out those projects so we can see how many connections and where those fees are coming from. Next slide. On our other revenues, which include 1% property tax, facility capacity fees, and miscellaneous revenues, when we add all of those together, we're approximately 31% over the $4.1 million budget. Similar to the facility capacity fees, some of these expenses, especially miscellaneous revenues, we have an annual budget and we just divide by 12, and we're never sure when revenues will come in. One of the miscellaneous revenues we received was Tapia carrying costs of about $1 million in December. Typically, we've just put that in for the budget. We're not usually sure what exact month they will hit, but we want to make sure it's included in the budget, but it all happened to come in December. Next slide. These are investments by maturity. This is changing significantly. This is how it is through December. But in January, our new financial, our investment advisor from Chandler, we've transferred all of our long-term and short-term investments over to them, including our liquid assets. And so they have started reinvesting some of our liquid assets into longer-term maturities and short-term maturities, which has, earlier in the presentation on our expense item, we're about 150%, I think, of budget. So we are significantly over what we thought we were going to be a year ago at this time. Next slide. And this is an illustration of our capital improvement program. Our PAYGO is on the left and our debt funded projects are on the right. On the PAYGO, out of our $75 million budget, we've expensed about $9.3 million. And our debt funded projects, about $42 million, we've expensed about $8.3 million. Next slide. This is our total operating expenses by category or by department, we call them. Most of these we've talked about. The one category that is over budget is in the water quality treatment and maintenance, which has to do with the power costs. And just our water resources and our social supply are under budget. Those also have to do with our core water supplies of when we pay them, when we receive the invoices. Next slide. On our debt service, this is our debt service the way it sits today. Year to date, we've made $23.5 million of debt service payments. The principal outstanding debt as of December 31st is $261 million. This does exclude the Valencia Water Division acquisition interfund loan and also the 1999 accreted interest. And next slide. This is our cash position. On the left-hand side, it just has a bar chart of our total restricted and unrestricted cash. It's split up of $112 million is our, or about $114 million is our reserves. Our restricted cash of about $112 million includes that facility capacity fee funds, our state water project fund, and any remaining bond proceeds that we have, and our unrestricted cash of about $52 million. That's there to meet the agency's payment obligations, such as operating expenses, including debt service, payroll expenses, insurance, CIP PAYGO, et cetera. And the pie chart on the right just shows the categories of reserves and what is funded in each one of those categories. And next slide. And other items in the finance section, which I'd be happy to talk about, but they include the statement of revenues and expenses for the month of December and the year to date. It includes a detailed investment report of all of our investments. It has a 3-month cash flow, which starts in It's February, March, and April, so we can make sure that we have enough cash on hand to meet our expense obligations. We have our debt and cash position, our facility capacity fee revenues in more detail, our 10 largest disbursements, part of our check register, the credit card register, which is reported quarterly, our director stipends, and director reimbursements. And next slide is that the Finance Administration Committee recommended that the Board of Directors receive and file the December 22 monthly and the fiscal year 2022-23 mid-year budget report. And that concludes my report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Rochelle. Excellent report. I don't have any written comment cards. Madam Secretary, do we have any members online who would like to comment?
We do not.
Very good. You can open up for board comment and discussion. Questions? Director Marks.
And Michelle, thank you for the report. With the reduced revenues that we're seeing, are you anticipating we're going to need to utilize more money out of reserves than we had might have been originally anticipated? Feel for that size.
Right. At this point, no. We're about $8 million less in revenue, but about $5 million less in expenses. And we also have not had to pull any out of reserves for our PAYGO projects this year. We did anticipate. We did set aside some funds in our operating account just in case we did have to dip into that. We showed that we had enough cash in case we did see a 20% reduction. We have not had to do that yet.
Thank you.
Vice President Ozaski.
Ms. Patterson, great presentation. That was actually my question too, concerned with a reduction of 15% in water sales. But looking at operating expenditures, I see that the actual was below the budget. So no question. Thank you. Okay.
Director Bronstein.
Thank you, Rochelle. I don't know how you can do it. That was a great report. I had a question about our solar panels. You said that they're not at 100%. Is it just because they're aging out and old, or is there something we need to do about it?
I actually heard from the sustainability manager today. Did you want me to report?
Yeah. I was going to bail you out because I did it in committee. We had this question there too.
So Matt Dickens, our sustainability manager, contacted me today. He said I had reported that we were running at 85% of our solar panels because one of our inverters was down based on some damage that we had received, but we were actually running at 60%. We have three inverters that are down, and we are hoping to get those fixed by the end of the fiscal year and get us back up to 100%, but currently we are at 60%.
Yeah, and I'd just add, we had a couple of things that happened around the time that we acquired the project. One, there was a power outage and surge, which may or may not have been a contributor to some of that. There was also a couple of big wind events that did some damage. And as we took over the project and brought on board a maintenance contractor, that was a slow process as well. Once we diagnosed and determined what facilities needed to be replaced, our good friend, Mr. Supply Chain, has slowed everything down too. So I would say probably normally it would be a little quicker to get an inverter online and restore it to service, but that's also been a kind of a compounding factor in the situation. But Matt has been working hard. We also have Terra Verde now in a contract who seems to be a little more responsive than the first operating contractor we had. So we're hoping to get the kinks out of this literally and procedurally and get it back up to full speed. But they're not aging yet. They're middle-aged panels, so they're still pretty good. Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. Director Cooper.
Thank you for the report, Rochelle. That was very good. When are we due to reevaluate our facility capacity fee charges? Is that coming soon, or
Yes, we have it on our schedule to do after the master plan. So once the master plan comes out and we've identified new projects, those will be incorporated into the next facility capacity fee study.
And that should be about when?
Should be next year. I believe at the end of this year is when the master plan is supposed to be completed in December, and then we'll start working on the next facility capacity fees.
Okay, I guess the numbers that we're showing now are just because of the housing market has gone down to pretty much nothing, and that's why there's no building going on. I know that when in the past, when we raised facility capacity fees, we get a surge of money mm-hmm. coming in because they try to get ahead of the curve on that. So hopefully next year we can do that.
Director Peterson.
Good job again, Rochelle. The Finance Committee heard the same presentation, and allowed me to recommend to the Board of Directors to receive and file this report. December of 2022 monthly and fiscal year 2022-23 year budget review. It's a file, I guess. Do we have to have an action?
No. It's receive and file, but it doesn't need a vote.
That's what I recommend.
So is that a motion, Director Peterson?
Yes. Okay.
I'll second.
All right, Director Bronstein seconds it. Any other comments? I did want to thank Rochelle again for the presentation. I had one comment or question. You mentioned during your presentation it's not unusual for property tax to lag the 50% mark. Is there any other items that, I guess let me cut to the chase. Is there anything in this report that gives you pause for concern at all?
Nothing other than the facility capacity fee revenue.
All right, because it looks like revenue's lagging, but expenses are lagging even more. So we're ahead of the curve with respect to expenses versus revenue. So we do have a motion and a second on the floor for any other questions from the board. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Vice President Ozahofsky.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item is approved and received and filed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We can move on to item 6.3. This is the discussion of AB 2449, Brown Act, and possible amendment to the SCV Water Board Policies and Procedures Manual. Our presenter tonight is our attorney, Mr. Byrne.
Thank you, President Martin. This is a follow-up from an item from two meetings ago in which my co-counsel, Tom Bunn, presented and summarized the provisions of a new Brown Act law, AB 2449. The summary is in the staff report. Essentially, it allows for, under limited circumstances, the remote participation without having to comply with certain of the kind of primary provisions of the Brown Act related to remote access, posting of the address on the agenda, and allowing the public to participate in these meetings at those locations. It has two specific circumstances in which it is allowed, and they're defined there in the staff report. One is just cause. In that exception, that is does not require board approval. And the other is emergency circumstances, of which, again, the descriptions are in there. You can only use the just cause exception two times per year. You cannot use AB 2449 more than four times per year, given the number of regular meetings that we have combined. So it's a very limited option. We were asked at the last meeting about a few questions of which are kind of outlined in the staff report, whether our existing policy worked or not as is, and whether the board had the ability to decide not to utilize AB 2449. So taking the second question first, the board does have a choice of whether to allow members to participate pursuant to the new provisions of the law or not. There is a little bit of a concern that if we're allowing for remote participation and then not allowing for AB 2449 participation, there could be some kind of an accommodation request that we might need to accommodate Anyway, so we kind of concluded and had a conversation with President Martin as well that it would be better to be clear in the policy that we are either going to allow participation pursuant to AB 2449 or not. And after discussions with President Martin, he had indicated to us that he thought it would be a good tool to have in the tool belt for the board to provide some flexibility, and kind of already currently the rationale for it is consistent with some of the rationale in the existing policy. And therefore the recommendation, which is before you, is to add one sentence to the policy, which essentially says that board members may utilize the provisions of AB 2449 to participate in board meetings. One of the questions I had from Director Gutzeit as well was whether to articulate some of the details of the differences between the two in the policy, meaning regular Brown Act provisions, you have to notice it, you have to post it at the location and make it available to the public, versus the new provisions where you don't have to do that. And we had decided that we would just put this simple line in, and we do have a staff report and a document of which April has distributed and can distribute again to be more or less kind of a cheat sheet for people. But that's certainly something that we can discuss.
Thank you, Mr. Button. Do we have any public comment, April, on this item?
We do not.
Very good. We can open it up to any further discussion or questions. Vice President Gutzeit.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning my emailed questions, Mr. Byrne. And I wanted to add one other point. I had asked about committee meeting participation by remote. Now that we have a smaller board, you know, if we are short one person or more, we could quickly lose a quorum. So if not in the policy, I was wondering if we could have a simpler than what was presented tonight, cheat sheet of, you know, if you're going to be absent and you want to request, you know, under these provisions, this is what you do. This is the posting required. If you want to request under these other provisions, this is what you do. This is, you know, and there's no posting required. Does this apply to committees and board or only board? And lastly, this came up for our upcoming board meeting. There's some provision that we haven't talked about, but as far as you, there has to be so many people present in person. This was coming up for the next board meeting. I thought if we elaborated all of that and maybe a cheat sheet or an attachment, because every time I contemplate this, I have to call because it's just not clear to me.
I think that is a very good idea. And you do raise one point, Director Gutzeit, of which the policy is not entirely clear. I think the board in the past has not utilized remote participation very often at all for committee meetings, but they have on occasion. And the board policy is specific to board meetings. So if there's a desire to change that, we can. I think we've been kind of flexible on it, and you can certainly do that. The policies are what the board approves, and the board can decide to change that. So that's just one clarification we can make, and the only edit there would be just to remove the word board, or the board can decide that they'd prefer not to have remote participation at committee meetings. And I'm seeing the general manager with his hand up.
Yeah, I just want to clarify, if we're talking about 2449, which is the new provision, which has a limitation of only four times a year, I think we can use it, then I might recommend that we, you know, reserve that that flexibility for board meetings. If we're talking about the advance notice with the alternate location on the agenda under the prior law, that might be a different, there's no limitation on that other than just we have in a policy something about the some combination of the gravity, I think, of the agenda and other items. But with only four opportunities to use that, we might want to be careful that we don't run out of opportunities and towards the end of the year really wish we had the ability to use that provision for a board meeting.
Thank you, Matt. I think this was a point that Mr. Byrne was also making, and I also agree with that 2449, I think, should be reserved for board meetings, that the committee meetings don't make decisions. They make recommendations, and they can operate that less than quorum if they so choose for basically an informational item, which we just did in E&O not too long ago. And then the item came to the full board. So attendance at committee meetings remotely was already said, is generally not done. We've done it occasionally for special issues, but certainly I wouldn't recommend it for 2449, but I'll continue the comments from the board. Vice President Ozahowski.
Mr. Byrne, regarding participation remotely, are there any current statutes that limit us participating remotely, but it has to be within the jurisdiction of SCV Water?
Under the existing current Brown Act, that's not the case. No, you can participate out of the jurisdiction.
Understood. Thank you.
And you can, I'm sorry, under AB 2449 also, but it does require, as I think Director Gutsight was indicating, that a certain number, that a quorum be within a location that is within a service area of the district. So under 2449, you have to have a quorum at one location within the district.
Okay, understood. Back to you, President Martin.
Director Cooper, did you have, go ahead.
I agree with your comments, President Martin. You know, I can see us adopting 2449 for the board meetings, and it gives very specific reasons of why you can participate remotely. It's not just that I'm on vacation, or it's for emergencies, and if you're on company business. So, and I think that's appropriate, and you have to have both audio and visual participation in it. And I think starting out with that would be good. I think we committees, like you said, are just a recommendation, and you don't have to have a quorum in committees. You can have two people that are there, and they're just making a recommendation, or they can say, let's move it to the board and discuss it at the board. Right. So it really doesn't need a quorum at committee. So I would say let's just do it for the board meetings and those instances where you may feel that you need somebody to participate that's not available.
Very good. Any other questions or comments from the board? Like to entertain a motion for to move the item as it's written.
I would like to add to the motion as written that we have a clarifying fact sheet.
No problem.
Okay.
And specifically, so what I heard tonight is, and it will not apply to committee meetings.
We will. And that, I think that's a great idea also, because in order to utilize it, you do have to, you're supposed to provide notice as soon as you're aware that there's going to be an issue. And Tom actually prepared a template for a few members who are going to be using it. So we'll make it very clear and easy to follow.
Okay.
Very good. Any other discussion? Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Vice President Gutsight.
Yes.
Vice President Ozahowski.
Yes.
Oh, Director Marks.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item does pass.
Very good. Thank you. We can move on to item 6.4, discussion and consideration of amending the SCV Water Board Policies and Procedures Manual, Director's Compensation and Expense Reimbursement, Section 4G 2 and 3, Category 2 Single Day Events, presented by me. This is an item that I've been wanting to bring to the board since we've become a 9-member board. For those of you who weren't part of the 15-member board, when we did have a 15-member board, there was a change in the policy that would limit attendance at both multi-day events and single-day events. I think if I recall correctly, the thrust of it was to get control of the multi-day events, but in so doing, we also limited the single-day events. Now that we're a 9-member board, I think the limitation on single-day events is restricting our ability to be out in the community and represent the agency like board members do as part of their normal responsibility. And I would like to see us remove the restriction on single day events going forward. And if this somehow doesn't work the way I think it will, I think it's going to allow for board members to attend more events and become more educated and also educate the community more about the agency and what we do and what's important. We can always come back and tighten it up again later. But this item basically amends the procedure to eliminate the limitation on single day events. Directors are still limited to the 10 meetings a month provision, no more than one meeting a day that qualifies for a stipend. So I think we're doing something, at least I hope we're doing something that's going to allow directors to be out there more as their time permits and not to be artificially restricted in that regard. So that's the item. And do we have any public comment before we open it to discussion?
We do not.
Very good. Thank you. So I would be interested to hear what the board has to say if you're Vice President Ozahowski.
I'm in full agreement with you, President Martin. Mr. Byrne, have you had a chance to look over President Martin's edits?
Yeah, I have. In fact, we helped prepare them. And I will note that there is one edit which does not need to be made, and that's on the last page. And that's not to get complicated, but it says it doesn't enter, it says out-of-state events do not count towards the limit, but there still is a multi-day limit. So I think the intent was for out-of-state not to count towards single or multi-state. So it's, I mean, multi-days, so it still is applicable. But yeah, I have, and it's, we've looked at it and think it satisfies what President Martin's trying to do.
Understood. Thank you, Mr. Byrne. I'm back to you, President Martin.
Yeah, that's a good clarification, Mr. Byrne. And my expectation is that it's going to be many more local events than overnight events out of the city. That there are plenty of local events that we could either attend remotely that are given by professional organizations or community organizations that we can attend in person. So that was my intention. So any other? Director Ornstein.
So events that happen outside the state don't count towards?
Well, first of all, I neglected to say that the policy applies to the pre-approved list. There's a list of organizations that are pre-approved. Anything outside of that list that you'd like to attend has to come before the board as a request. So basically it includes any of those organizations that put on an event.
Okay, because I thought that I may have misunderstood what you said, because I thought you said that out-of-state events don't count to.
Well, no, not out-of-state. I think...
Yeah, I could clarify. And this was one of former director Gladbach's babies, because he was going out of state on federal trips. It has to do only if you're in your authorized role on a governing board or a committee of the host organization. So it was meant to be an exception for someone who was participating in a group and had a conference. So it was more like or less a mandatory thing for them to attend. So it's limited to that. And that's the one that didn't count towards the multi-day limit.
And then can you also help elaborate on local events that you're hoping people will attend? Like, what do you mean by that? More BIA, more Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah, I think I actually mentioned one to you the other day that happens on a monthly basis. It's Southern California Water Dialogue that has some very interesting and informative programs, and you can attend now remotely. You don't have to go downtown, I think, and so that would be a very useful meeting to attend. So things like that.
Okay, thank you.
And there are there's about 22 that are listed as pre-approved on the single day.
Any other questions, comments? Very good. I'd certainly like to have a motion to approve the item. Director Cooper, motion.
Marks, second.
Second by Director Marks. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
Vice President Ozuchowski.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item is approved.
Thank you, Board. And I hope that each of you would consider taking advantage of this new freedom to be out there and amongst our community members and educate. It's a two-way education. They can educate us and we can educate them. So please give that some thought. We now can move on to item 7, General Manager's Report on Activities, Projects, and Programs. Mr. Stone.
Thank you, President Martin. As noted in some of the AB 1234 reports, I attended the Urban Water Institute conference February 22nd through 24th. Very interesting set of panels this year. And also had the opportunity to participate as a panelist with fellow general managers from San Juan Water District up in the Sacramento area, my alma mater, Rancho California Water District, and neighbor to my alma mater, Elsinore Valley Municipal Water District. And it was kind of on the theme of how do you anticipate and make changes and adjust your plans. And my talk juxtaposed kind of the first part. We did the merger in one slide. I think that's a record now. We talked about our strategic plan in two slides, and then sort of move from the, you know, the planning of that to what do you do when our good friend Mayhem visits, the accident-prone fellow from the insurance company commercials. And for that, we kind of use the example of PFAS, drought, and COVID all kind of descending upon us at once, and tried to highlight that prior plans and actions that we had anticipated would be beneficial, perhaps for other reasons, or at least a variety of reasons, ended up being essential to be able to manage through that situation effectively. So, for example, we had wet year water that we stored away for years in the Central Valley that's gotten us through a number of dry cycles, and we try to refill on the wet cycles. And with the three drought years and the reduction in production that we had from our wells that were impacted by PFAS, we relied heavily on that stored water, perhaps more so than we would have otherwise in a drought. So it turned out to have an added value that wasn't necessarily anticipated explicitly. And then in terms of responding to the situation with PFAS, the fact that we had combined our staff and combined our board and were in the midst of combining our systems gave us a lot more flexibility to use the best functional elements of each, and also to identify where would be the best places to build new treatment first. And you know, absent that, we would have probably had a situation where we would have worked together. I'm not going to say we wouldn't have worked together because we always do, but we would have had the interest of Castaic as the wholesaler cutting everybody back from imported water. We would have had each retailer trying to use whatever pumping it had remaining, and whatever the consequences of that then becoming sort of a triage exercise to try to help one another. We may have gotten to some of the same outcomes, but it would not have been nearly as efficient or seamless, I think. The other is we would have missed out on all that great team building for our staff. So anyway, I enjoyed the opportunity to make that presentation, and kind of my ending theme was fortune favors the prepared, even when you didn't quite prepare for that. And then looking ahead, I had a series of kind of thoughts. One, probably just pull one from that, which was diversified and early resource investments may indeed save us from mayhem. So I think when we're trying to decide how and when to make those next investments, the lesson of PFAS and the drought happening at the same time, I think, was a good one to keep in mind. Last Friday, I was able to participate with the board in our team building workshop. And I just want to express my appreciation to all of you for your openness and willingness to engage and participate as we got to know each other better and explored the concepts of teamwork together. I thought it was really left me with a very good sense for where we're headed, and hopefully we can build on that and implement some great successes in the future. But it was a fun thing, and I know we had a couple of really good laughs along the way, which will stay in the room, but they weren't that bad. They're just funny. And you know, that's important too, that there's always tension in hashing out ideas and brokering different viewpoints. But if we can keep a sense of humor and our humanity about us, I think we can navigate those things. So much appreciated. I'll kind of keep it short for this report. I think those are the two things I'll report on for this time. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. Do we have any public comment before we open up to board questions?
We do not.
Very good. So I don't usually do this, but I'll lead off with a comment and say, Mr. Stone, I thought your presentation on the general manager's panel was done only as you can do, misting in an eloquent presentation of compressing 5 years worth of accomplishments and challenges and a little bit of humor. I really love the mayhem guy. He's one of my favorite commercials, and it really fit well. And so the only thing missing was pushing the button on our 5-year anniversary video and didn't play. So that's too bad. But anyway, I thought you did very excellent job, and thank you for that. Any other questions from the board? Anyway. And the only thing missing from the team building was your guitar and a few of your songs. That would have pretty much put a cherry on the cake. So anyway, we can move on to item 8, committee meeting recap reports for informational purposes only. Here's my list, a whole bunch.
Did we do public comment?
Yeah, we did. Oh. We did that first. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so back to committee meeting recap reports for informational purposes only. There's 3 in your packet. Do we have any public comment on that, April?
We do not.
Okay. Any questions, Vice President Ozahowski?
Regarding item 8.2, crisis communication plan, had a chance to review it. I know it's a living document. It can be changed at will. Do we plan on contacting all the local organizations and companies to making sure that their PR or communications managers are actually still with the company and with the organization? I see Ms. Martin.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's it. Thank you. Back to you, President Martin.
Very good. Director Armitage.
Thank you. I just have a brief comment on 8.1 for the Water Resources and Watershed Committee meeting. I just wanted to say I listened to the meeting recording, and I really appreciated the presentation by Dr. Pitois that she did. Am I saying her name right, I hope? Okay, thank you. On the Goldsmith model development, that's something that's been very nebulous in my mind. We talk about it frequently, and I wanted to have the opportunity to learn more about it. And that was a really good way to do that. So please pass my thanks on to her. Thanks.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, and we have no public comment on that, we can move on to item 9. Written reports for informational purposes only, and there are 5 written reports in your packet this month or this meeting. Do we have any public comment on the written reports?
We do not.
Very good. Any questions from the board on the written reports? Vice President Ozahowski.
Just before Director Armitage beats me to it, again, thanks again for these reports. We do read them, and we do appreciate the detail and the updates. Regarding Item 9.2 on page 616, under significant upcoming events, staff plans to develop a soft skills training program for employees. Any particular reason why management decided to do this kind of training program for SCV Water employees?
Yeah, I think primarily, you know, we've been trying to look at different areas where we can improve our training offerings for our staff, you know, from supervisorial to presentation to this kind of thing. So soft skills are often vital in putting staff in a position to have the best tools to manage conflict, either externally or internally. So it's felt that that's a good investment.
I couldn't agree more. General Manager Stone, thank you for doing that. Back to you, President Martin.
Very good. Any other questions on the Director Armitage?
Thank you. I too really like reading these reports, and I do have some comments and a couple questions too. For the Finance Administration and Information Technology report, there was a section about how staff is conducting targeted verbal outreach to all residents or residential customers who have had their water service disconnected for non-payment more than once since the agency resumed shutoffs in spring. And it goes on to explain how outreach is done to educate and empower customers so they may manage their water accounts more effectively. And it sounds, you know, staff is doing really individualized and personalized outreach to the customers. And I just want to say that I think this is really great. And I'm sure it's time consuming, but I'm sure, and it sounds like the customers are really appreciating this added step that the agency has taken to do this outreach to work with them. So I just want to say thank you for that. I don't know how many agencies are doing that, so thank you. Let's see, moving on. I have a couple questions, but I'll just send them to you directly, Ms. Patterson, so that you don't have to get up. And I was kudos to the IT team, because there are a number of things that were described in this memo also about how they are working hard to keep our agency safe from in terms of cybersecurity. So thank you for that. I continue to say that I think that's one of the most important things we can do as a water agency that provides water to hundreds of thousands of people in the Valley who rely on it. So it reassures me each and every time I see this emphasis placed on it. So thank you to the entire IT staff who do that. I'm excited to see that we have an intern officially on board, it looks like, for the automotive program. So welcome to whoever that student is. And then lastly, I think it's great we put in the ADA operator push plates, so to make the customer service areas more accessible to all. So that's that one. And then for the water resources and outreach section report, a couple really brief questions, and you're on the mic, so I'm going to ask you, Mr. Cole. So there's a reference to the conservation communication study, which I think is great. I'm just curious to know when the results of that will be shared.
Yeah, we're doing kind of an internal debriefing right now. So I would say, you know, it's imminent, but okay. it'll be coming to a committee meeting soon.
Okay, so I'll keep an eye up
yes.
for that. Okay. And then it was great to read that staff has met with Sunset Heights HOA. I'm getting excited each and every time I'm reading about HOAs working with the agency on how they can convert their large areas of turf to more drought tolerant and native plants, hopefully, in their landscaping. So I just want to say that's great. And I'm wondering, is the agency reaching out to HOAs, or are they coming to us, I guess is what I'm trying to get a sense of.
Yeah, it's a bit of both. Okay. I think, you know, Matt Dickens and his team is really trying to make a concerted effort to target certain ones too, based on data.
Okay.
So that's kind of part of the approach, but then there's also the ones that kind of hear or see activities in town and will come reach out to us as well.
That's great. Okay. Almost done. Skip that one. Just the last one, there's mention of a scope of work going out for an update to the water, SCV Water's recycled water master plan. And I was just really happy to read that because I'm excited about expanding recycled water use in the future and want to see how that's going to, how the vision is for that. So thank you.
All right. Are there any other questions on the written reports? Seeing none, we can move on to the president's report. I have a few items to report to you on tonight. Outside of the agency conference and events, the KHTS Sacramento road trip will be March 20 and 21. Vice President Ozahowski and Director Cooper, as well as myself, will be attending the trip. On May 31st, this 2023, there'll be the State of the County is being held at the Hyatt Regency at 11:30 a.m. More information to come, but I would encourage those who can to attend. On April 26th, there'll be a Delta Conveyance Design and Construction Authority, acronym DCA, an alignment tour. There are three more director spots available so as not to exceed the quorum of the board. It's being conducted by the DCA team. The first three directors that let Board Secretary April know that you'd like to go could be on the list. The tentative itinerary would be a one-day tour that starts in Sacramento in the early morning with the first stop at the terminus of the Delta Project at the Bethany Reservoir. The drive provides opportunities for videos and presentations. The Bethany setting helps to visualize the proposed pumping facility to lift the water from the tunnel into Bethany, and then the beginning of the California Aqueduct. After lunch in Stockton, the trip visits a proposed maintenance shaft near Interstate 5 and a proposed launch site off Twin Cities Road. The route then heads into the Delta along the proposed road for most construction traffic and a review of the community of Hood, adjacent to two proposed intake structures. Final step is at the Delta Company, that is likely manufacturer of DCP's fish screens for the intakes on the Sacramento River. Travel time provides opportunities for a range of State Water Project questions, as well as videos explaining key DCP features and strategies such as traffic management and noise minimization and pile driving. The goal is to help existing and potential State Water contract participants, key stakeholders, better understand the project in order to make more informed decisions. Participants will need to go up the night before. It's an early morning start the day after, and it's an all-day tour. Go up the night of the 25th and return after the tour, 4 p.m., which get a late afternoon, evening flight home. So it's a one night over. So anybody interested that's on the board, please let April know your interest and your availability. It's the travel on the 25th, the evening of the 25th. The tour will be on the 26th of April. Yes. Upcoming board meetings, start time 6 p.m., regular board meeting March 21st. Due to the three of us who will be on the KHTS bus trip and perhaps arriving late to the meeting, we will be starting the meeting at 7 p.m. and dinner will not be served that evening. Regular board meeting on April 4th, 2023, start at the normal time. Upcoming committee meetings for the month of February held at Summit Circle and the EWS boardroom at 5:30, the March 8th Water Resources, the March 16th Public Outreach, the April 16th Engineering and Operations Committee. Upcoming committee meetings for the month of February at Rio Vista in the boardroom at 5:30, the March 2023 Finance and Administration Committee. That concludes my report. We have any public comment, April?
We do not. Sorry about that. It should have said March, not February. Sorry about that.
Very good. So any questions from the board? Very good. Let's move on to item 11, AB 1234 reports. There was one report that was in your packet and two reports that were posted to the website, emailed, and are at each of our spots. Any other AB 1234 reports tonight? And go ahead, Director Cooper. Go ahead, Vice President Orzahowski.
Yeah, thank you, Director Cooper. So on February 23rd, I had the pleasure of representing SCV Water at Santa Clara Valley Chamber of Commerce Centennial Celebration Awards and Installation Dinner. Proud to say that our very own assistant general manager, Mr. Cole, has been installed as a on the board. So congratulations, Mr. Cole. And it also gave me an opportunity to speak with Assemblywoman Pilar Chavo and her communications and field rep, mispronounced her name, Jenna Sequenius, regarding a possible funding from Sacramento on one of our capital projects. So Ms. Sequenius put me in touch with her district director and chief of staff and made the necessary contacts. And I'm also proud to say that Mr. Cole with our California advocates have already prepared a list of three potential projects that could be funded by Sacramento. So good work, Mr. Cole. Looking forward to how that develops. Back to you, President Martin.
Director Cooper.
On Monday the 6th, I attended the Groundwater Sustainability Agency meeting on behalf of the agency.
Yeah. Vice President Gusek.
Which reminds me that I forgot to do a report for that. So I was also at the GSA meeting on Monday.
Yes. Any others? Direct Vice President Orzahowski.
Ditto, Vice President Goodsight. Same here. I've also attended the GSA meeting that was on Monday.
All right.
As far as a quick recap, I believe we had an extensive report, two extensive reports on measurement and how to go forward with measuring groundwater levels with aerial topography. And sensors on at these three locations. Back to you, President Martin.
Thank you, Vice President Orzahowski. Seeing no other reports, I'll also add that I attended the SCV GSA board meeting yesterday and almost flipped my mind. Thank you, Director Cooper, for reminding us of that. And of course, Vice President Orzahowski gave you the highlights, and I find it interesting that we're into our second annual report for the GSA, and we don't have an approved GSP, Groundwater Sustainability Plan. I guess Department of Water Resources is taking, did I hear, 3 years to review and approve these plans? Since we're not a critically overdrafted basin, then we're kind of in second tier of reviews, I guess.
Yes, that is correct. I think you may have caught some news this week on some of the plans in the Central Valley that they are focused on. And so that is a process. They officially declined several of the plans in the Central Valley. So nobody's quite sure what the procedural steps are that are going to unveil themselves next, but that is the focus.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. All right, that concludes AB 1234s. Do we have any public comment on the AB 1234s?
We do not.
We can move on to item 12, director reports. Does anyone have a director report tonight? Director Bronstein.
I once again, not sure if this is the right place, but I just want a little shout out to our new website because it is phenomenal. I've been asking people, just random people, if they'd take a look and review it, and everybody just it's so easy on my phone, on my iPad, on my computer. It doesn't matter what I open it on. It works so nicely. Everything's there. So I just thank you. Job well done.
Very good. Thank you for bringing that up, Director Bronstein, and I would echo her comments. Any other, Director Armitage?
Thanks. I just want to say that I think last week was it either National Engineers Week or International Engineers Week? Anyhow, they were recognizing engineers last week. And it's a good opportunity to, I guess, remind the great engineers that we have here at SCV Water how appreciated they all are. I know we have some in the room, some on Zoom, And Mr. Mayle, if you could perhaps pass our thanks on to the rest of your team who isn't on tonight. I'm grateful for the men and women who are part of that team. So thank you for all you do.
Well said. Any other director reports tonight? We have any public comment on the director reports, Avra?
We do not.
Very good. Move on to item 13. We will have a closed session tonight. For the agenda description as you have in your packet, item 13.1, conference with legal counsel, existing litigation, paragraph 1, subdivision D, section 549569. Name of the case, Bashore versus Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency, Los Angeles County Superior Court, case number as written. And so we are going to take about a 5-minute recess to get set up for closed session. So we are hereby in recess, and let's all get ready to go to closed session, get out of, if you're logged into the virtual website, then get out of that while we go to closed session, and we will be reconvening in 5 minutes at 7:41. We are now back in open session, and we can pass it to our legal counsel, Joe Byrne, for item 14, announcements of a closed session.
Thank you, President Martin. I will report that there was no action taken during closed session that is reportable pursuant to the Brown Act. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Byrne. We can move on to item 15, director requests for approval for event attendance. Are there any requests for event attendance?
I have one.
Director Marks.
Yes, on Wednesday, March 15th, the Council for Watershed Health Water Talks workshop is occurring, and that is a tour of restoration projects along the Santa Clara River. I'd appreciate the opportunity to participate in that.
Okay. Motion? Yeah.
Okay. I'll second.
Second. All right. We have a motion and a second for Mr.
Can we expand it to like, is that our just from now on? Every time we approve it, we're approving it for everyone, right?
Is it something that's going to be local? And
yes. I think those who had participated in the previous workshop were sent out.
Is it on our
invitations?
Okay.
Director Marks, can you send me that information so I can send it to the board?
Yes.
Thank you.
And it's a one-day event?
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, there you go. You have a new policy for that.
I was going to say. If that organization is on our pre-approved list, then...
I don't believe it is.
Okay. All right. Anyway, we have a motion and a second, and make it available to the full board if you please.
Absolutely.
We have a motion and a second. Please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Vice President Ozahowski.
Yes.
Vice President Kutsai.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. Attendance has been approved for the full board.
Very good. Any other requests for attendance events? Seeing none, we can move. Well, do we have public comment on item 15?
We do not.
Very good. We move on to item 16, and we are hereby adjourned. Thank you all. Good meeting tonight. And thank you, staff. Thank you, Mr. Burns.